Welcome, welcome here to the Divine Office Online. I hope that this prayer group grows a lot during the Year of Hope. But most of all, I hope that this helps you to obtain some freedom from sin, some blessings from the church, including the partial or plenary indulgence, and most of all, a deeper understanding of God's Word and how we understand it in the Catholic faith and what it means to be a Catholic in this 21st century of turmoil, basically. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise, begins the prayers for today, because this is the first hour of my day, and you always do that if you want to do the proper version. As I said, don't get caught up in legalism. Don't be caught up in, okay, I have to do it one way because this is not official unless I do it. It doesn't matter. What matters is the Word of God and your relationship with God. So if it helps you just to do part of the hours, like the readings, just do read them a couple of times and do Lectio Divina or a meditation on them. If you like the Psalms, just pick one Psalm, you know. It can be from any Psalm in the Breviary or even out of the Bible, you know. So it's about your relationship with God and what teaches you to pray better. But here I like to do the official one, since in catechist school, you know, you're kind of encouraged. As a parish minister, you're kind of encouraged to have a devotion to pray in the Liturgy of the Hours. And there's no problem showing you how to do it the full way as we pray this way. So here we go, back to ordinary days of ordinary time. We're on the optional lectionary, so it's not going to be on iBreviary. The readings are going to be different. We'll do combined office of readings and morning prayer. Come, let us worship before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 95, a call to praise God. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship before the Lord our Maker. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship before the Lord, our Maker. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us worship before the Lord, our Maker. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship before the Lord, our Maker. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship before the Lord our Maker. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship before the Lord our Maker. And then we begin the song. Sublime Creator of all things, our Lord and Ruler, turn your gaze. Deliver us, immersed in sleep, from harmful dreams and indolence. O Holy Christ, we beg of you, forgive us all our sinful deeds. We break the silent hours of this morning to rise to give you thanks and praise. We lift up our hearts and hands in prayer to do this prayer at the beginning of the day. O Spirit of truth and love, life-giving holy dove, speed on your flight, move on the water's face, bearing the lamp of grace, and in earth's darkest place, let there be light. Holy and blessed three, glorious Trinity, wisdom, love, might, boundless as ocean tide, roaring in fullest pride, through the world far and wide, let there be light. So we're going to begin the psalmody now. Antiphon 1, wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth. What a great prayer to begin our morning. God's favors to the house of David, Psalm 89, is our prayer this morning. According to his promise, the Lord has raised up Jesus, a Savior from the family of David. Acts 13, 22 and 23. I will sing forever of your love, O Lord. Through all ages, my mouth will proclaim your praise. Of this I am sure, that your love lasts forever, that your truth is firmly established as the heavens. With my chosen one I have made a covenant. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your dynasty forever and set up your throne through all ages. Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth. The heavens proclaim your wonders, O Lord. The assembly of your holy ones proclaims your truth. For who in the skies can compare with the Lord, or who is like the Lord among the sons of God? A God to be feared in the council of the holy ones, great and dreadful to all around him. O Lord, God of armies, who is your equal? You are mighty, O Lord, and truth is your garment. Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth. It is you who rule the sea in its pride. It is you who still the surging of its waves. You crushed the monster Rebhead and killed it, scattering your foes with your mighty arm. Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth. The heavens are yours. The world is yours. It is you who founded the earth and all it holds. It is you who created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon shout with joy at your name. Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth. Yours is a mighty arm, O Lord. Your hand is strong, your right hand ready. Justice and right are the pillars of your throne. Love and truth walk in your presence. Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth. Happy the people who acclaim such a king, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who find their joy every day in your name. You make your justice the source of their bliss. For you, O Lord, are the sole glory of their strength. By your favor it is that our might is exalted. Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth. For you, Lord, are the glory of their strength. By your favor it is that our might is exalted. For our ruler is in the keeping of the Lord, our King in the keeping of the Holy One of Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth. When the Son of God came into this world, he was born of David's line. Of old you spoke in a vision to your friends, the prophets, you said, I have set the crown on a warrior. I have exalted my chosen one from the people. I have found David my servant, and with my holy oil anointed him. My hand shall always be with him. My arm shall make him strong. When the Son of God came into this world, he was born of David's line. The enemy shall never outwit him, nor the evil man oppress him. I will beat down his foes before him and smite those who hate him. When the Son of God came into the world, he was born of David's line. My truth and my love shall be with him. By my hand his might shall be exalted. I will stretch out his hand to the sea, his right hand as far as the river. He will say to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock who saves me. And I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. When the Son of God came into this world, he was born of David's line. I will keep my love for him always. For him my covenant shall last. I will establish his dynasty forever, make his throne endure as the heavens. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When the Son of God came into this world, he was born of David's line. Antiphon 3. Once for all, I swore to David, my servant, his dynasty shall never fail. If his sons forsake my law and refuse to walk as I decree, and if ever they violate my statutes, refusing to keep my commands, then I will punish their offenses with the rod, and I will scourge them on account of their guilt. But I will never take back my love. My truth will never fail. I will never violate my covenant nor go back on the word I have spoken. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness. I will never lie to David. His dynasty shall last forever. In my sight, his throne is like the sun, like the moon, it shall endure forever, a faithful witness in the skies. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord our God and Father, you anointed your servant Jesus with the holy oil and raised him higher than all kings on earth. In this you fulfilled the promise made to David's descendants and established a lasting covenant through your firstborn son. Do not forget your holy covenant, so that we who are signed with the blood of your son through the new sacrament of faith may sing of your mercies forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Once for all, I swore to my servant David, his dynasty shall never fail. When we listen to your word, our minds are filled with light. It is the lowly heart that understands. Let us have the readings where we listen to God's word. Firstly, in the tradition of the church, firstly in Scripture, and then a meditation from the context of the tradition of the church to put it in the context of the rest of God's words and the rest of Revelation. A reading from the book of Genesis. So again, we have skipped over a reading in the story, the one where Abraham banishes the son of the slave woman. And there's kind of a comparison between this story and the next story, the mother and the father, though the author puts it very differently. The sacrifice of Isaac, Genesis 22, 1 through 19. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Mordecai, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come back again to you. Then Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together, and Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on that lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you did not withhold your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand on which is the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your descendants shall all the nations of the earth bless themselves, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, And they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Responsory prayer. For our sake, Christ was cursed, so that the blessing of Abraham might include the pagans, that through faith we might receive the promised Spirit. God rescued us from the land of Egypt and set us free from the land of slavery, that through faith we might receive the promised Spirit. In the regular hours, there's a wonderful second reading that might even serve as a good commentary on this from a sermon on the Song of Songs by St. Bernard. It has a caption, "Where sin abounded, grace has overflowed." But just to get us going, since I love First Clement and I said I would read semi-continuously, I do want to read from 1 Clement to continue, try to get a part of it that meditates, gets us to meditate a little bit on this. So in a reading from the tradition of the Church, from a letter of the Church of Rome to the Church of the Corinthians by Clement of Rome, Pope, Abraham, styled the friend, was found faithful, inasmuch as he rendered the obedience to the words of God. He, in the exercise of obedience, went out from his own country, from his kindred, and from his father's house, in order that, by forsaking a small territory and a weak family and an insignificant house, he might inherit the promises of God. For God said to him, "Get you out from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into the land which I shall show you, and I will make of you a great nation and will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be blessed. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And again, on his departing from Lot, God said to him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the space, the place where you are now, northward and southward and eastward, your eyes, and westward, for all the land which you see, to you I will give it, and to your seed forever, and I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then so shall your seed also be numbered." And again the scripture says, "God brought forth Abram and spoke unto him, Look up now to heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them, so shall your seed be. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. On account of his faith and hospitality, a son was given him in his old age, and in the exercise of obedience, he offered him as a sacrifice to God on one of the mountains which he showed him. Whosoever will candidly consider each particular will recognize the greatness of the gifts which God were given, which were given to him by God. For from him have sprung the priests and the Levites who minister at the altar of God. From him also was descended our Lord Jesus Christ according to the flesh. From him arose kings, princes, and rulers of Judah. Nor are his other tribes insignificant, nor are his other tribes in small glory, inasmuch as God has promised, Your seed shall be as the stars of heaven. For these therefore were highly honored, and made great, not for their own sake, or for their own works, or for the righteousness which they wrought, but through the operation of his will. And we too, being called by his will in Christ Jesus, are not justified by ourselves, nor by our own wisdom, or understanding, or godliness, or works, which we have wrought in holiness of heart, but by that faith, through which, from the beginning, Almighty God has justified all men. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. What shall we do then, brethren? Shall we become slothful in well-doing and cease from the practice of love? God forbid that any such course should be followed by us. But rather let us hasten with all energy and readiness of mind to perform every good work. For the Creator and Lord of all himself rejoices in his works. For by his inevitably great power, he established the heavens, and by his incomprehensible wisdom he adorned them. He also divided the earth from the water which surrounds it, and fixed it upon the immovable foundation of his own will, the animals also which are upon it he commanded by his own word into existence. So likewise, when he had formed the sea and the living creatures which are in it, he enclosed them within their own proper bounds by his own word. Above all, with his holy and undefiled hands, he formed man, the most excellent of his creatures, and truly great, through the understanding given him, the express image of his own image, the express likeness of his own image. For thus says God, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God made man. Male and female, he created them. Having thus finished all these things, he approved them and blessed them and said, increase and multiply. Responsory prayer. He was pierced through our offenses. He was crushed for our sins. Upon him lies the chastisement that gives us peace. By his wounds we are healed. Christ took our sins upon his own body and was nailed to the cross so that we might die to sin and live for holiness. By his wounds we are healed. And again, I know that this doesn't really explain all of our pressing questions about the passage or everything. There are three passages in the New Testament that particularly take up and comment on that story. One is in the book of James. I don't have chapter and verse. Another is Paul's great reflection in Romans and Galatians on Abraham. So really, that's four passages, two from Paul. And also, there's something in Hebrews that speculates a little bit about how Abraham probably knew, and it's reasonable to conclude too, that he knew that his son, even if he had to kill him in this kind of obedience onto insanity, if you will, God would raise him up to fulfill the promise, because the whole thing was that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, and that would happen through his son Isaac many times. And let us continue for a combined morning prayer. So let us relax and listen to the inspired prayers of the Psalms to make them our own. Give joy to your servant, Lord. To you I lift up my heart. Psalm 86. The prayer of the poor man in distress. Blessed be God who comforts us in all our trials. 2 Corinthians. Turn your ear, O God, O Lord, and give answer, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am faithful. Save the servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I cry to you all the day long. Give joy to your servant, O Lord, for to you I lift up my soul. O Lord, you are good and forgiving, full of love to all who call. Give heed, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the sound of my voice. In the day of distress I will call, and surely you will reply. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor work to compare with yours. All the nations shall come to adore you and glorify your name, O Lord. For you alone are great and do marvelous deeds, you who alone are God. Show me, Lord, your way, so that I may walk in your truth. Guide my heart to fear your name. Give joy to your servant, O Lord, to you I lift up my heart. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart, and glorify your name forever. For your love to me has been great. You have saved me from the depths of the grave. The proud have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. To you they pay no heed. Give joy to your servant, Lord. To you I lift up my heart. But you, God of mercy and compassion, slow to anger, O Lord, abounding in love and truth, turn and take pity on me. O give your strength to your servant and save your handmaiden's son. Show me a sign of your favor, that my foes may see to their shame, that you console me and give me your help. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give joy to your servant, Lord. To you I lift up my heart. And how much we do need that joy in our lives, even when things aren't going well. Blessed is the upright man who speaks the truth. Isaiah 33, part of that is our new prayer, God's flawless judgment. Hear, you who are far off, what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my might. On Zion, sinners are in dread. trembling grips the impious. Who of us can live with the consuming fire? Who of us can live with the everlasting flames? He who practices virtue and speaks honestly, who spurns what is gained by oppression, brushing his hands free of contact with a bribe, stopping his ears lest he hear of bloodshed, closing his eyes lest he look on evil. He shall dwell on the heights, his stronghold shall be the rocky fastness, his food and drink in steady supply. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed is the upright man who speaks the truth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us celebrate with joy in the presence of our Lord and King. Psalm 98. The Lord triumphs in his judgment. This psalm tells of the Lord's first coming and that people of all nations will believe in him. St. Athanasius said that, and that's our sentence from scripture or tradition to help us interpret the prayer. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has worked wonders. His right hand and his holy arm have brought salvation. The Lord has made known his salvation, has shown his justice to the nations. He has remembered his truth and love for the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Ring out your joy. Sing psalms to the Lord with the harp, with the sound of music, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Acclaim the King, the Lord. Let the sea and all within it thunder, the world and all its peoples. Let the rivers clap their hands and the hills ring out their joy. Rejoice at the presence of the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice and the peoples with fairness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, you revealed your justice to all nations. We stood condemned, and you came to be judged in our place. Send your saving power on us, and when you come in glory, bring your mercy to those for whom you were condemned. Let us celebrate with joy in the presence of our Lord and King. A short reading from the book of Job. Naked I came forth from my mother's womb, and naked I shall go back again. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We accept good things from God, and should we not accept evil? Incline my heart according to your will, O God. Speed my steps along your path according to your will, O God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Incline my heart according to your will, O God. For show us your mercy, Lord. Remember your holy covenant. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, Lord. Remember your holy covenant. Let us turn to the Lord to intercede for our brothers and sisters. Christ nourishes and supports the church for which he gave himself up to death. Let us ask him, remember your church, Lord. You are the good shepherd who has given life and light to us today. Make us grateful for these gifts. Look with mercy on the flock you have gathered together in your name. Let no one whom the Father has given you perish. Lead your church in the way of your commandments. May the Holy Spirit keep her faithful. Nourish the church at the banquet of your word and bread. Strengthened by this food, may she follow you in joy. Particularly, I want to pray for two priests, for Father Rob Gilea, the great evangelizing missionary priest, and also for the missionary, exorcist, and prophet, Father Jim Blau. We pray for their needs and intentions this morning in a particular way. Also, pray for anyone that you most need to intercede for, that the Spirit is moving you to intercede for at this moment. Grant us the gift to be patient and to forgive others, Lord. Also, remember your church, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, as daylight fills the sky, fill us with your holy light. May our lives mirror your love for you, our love for you, whose wisdom has brought us into being, and whose care guides us on our way. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. So that we've prayed together half an hour, please let's also pray an Our Father, Hail Mary, and a Glory Be for the Pope's monthly intention. And then you also ask for a plenary indulgence because you've spent this half hour meditating on Holy Sacred Scripture. So you should get a plenary indulgence or something equivalent to it that you can offer for a soul in purgatory to try to let go of their, or a partial indulgence to help them or to help yourself in this life. Remember, we did do a catechesis once here about what temporal punishment is and how it's not just a legal document, but affects our lives and affects ourselves. So let's pray for the people who are displaced by war, violence, and other types of causes, that they have access to a quality education to get a better life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory to you for answering our prayers, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So in any case, I work in apologetics a lot. Even before I was actually a formal catechist, I did apologetics. So I'm familiar with many of the people that Barron talks about, you know, who have a problem with this story, and they view it, quite understandably, I think, as proof that the Bible is incoherent, that the image of God portrayed in Scripture is incoherent. But more is going on here. I think it's quite natural to wonder why God would do this. After all, it seems alien to what we know of God, God who the Church tells us doesn't command us ever to do evil, even if a greater good can come of it. But the thing is that the primary reason here is because this is actually an image of God the Father giving us Christ. So Abraham's situation was not normal in any way. He was the father of the promise and the receiver of the covenant promise that he would be the father of the holy people, and then through them, of the ones who by faith would believe after them. So again, there's three passages in the New Testament. He knew that his son, even if he had to kill him, wouldn't stay dead because the promise was through Isaac. And yet at the same time, he stretches out his hand to slay his own son. How terrible, how horrible that must have been. But it's an image of what God the Father does. So, yes, there's something to this. There's a way of typologically reading the story. The promise could be, for example, the promise that you have a perfect Father in heaven. The Son could be that which you, blessings that you've acquired during your life. So there are people like Joab that are, you know, they suffer the loss of their blessings, and that could be a way of reading it typologically, where it is this perfection of Abraham's faith, even onto this insane sacrifice. But God doesn't ask the sacrifice of Abraham. God wants him to go to the limits because he has to be a sign of God the Father. So it becomes an image of God the Father giving us the one that he loves most, his own beloved image, the Son and Word in the flesh, even sacrificing him so that we could kill him on the cross. And in a way, because God the Father is in control of everything, he has to allow that to happen. So there's this image of the Father's heartbreak in Abraham's heartbreak as he stretches forth his hand, knowing that the Son will come back. And so anyway, that is basically it for today. I know we've long one. I'm off to secular work now, but I hope you have a really great rest of your day and that you enjoy these podcasts.